Welcome to Local Matters with Louis Matheny, where on Mondays in Cookeville, and once we are podcasts anywhere from around the country, you can listen to us talk to local people about local matters, about which I think you're going to find quite interesting. And today, our primary topic is that of songwriting. And I have a couple of great songwriters in the studio with me, along with somebody that knows one of those songwriters. And one of the songwriters that we've all heard so much about lately is the very talented Jake Coote, who I'm meeting for the first time today. And I sort of came into the game late when it came to singing competition shows. I had never watched many at all. And so this is actually a compliment to you to say I stopped dead in my tracks to watch you do First Desperado. And on your final round was stunned, absolutely stunned in my tracks to hear the song, which you, am I correct? You wrote this solely. You didn't have a co-writer.
I did have a co-writer on this one.
You did?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
His name is Dave Pahanish. He lives right outside of Nashville.
Great. Yes, sir. And what I found is I've been saying to a couple people when I've been talking about you until I came down here to meet you is I grew up in the 60s and the 70s when both Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined Fleetwood Mac and made them the Fleetwood Mac that we know of them today. But within two albums, they were on their way to breaking up. And their biggest selling album of all time was a song full of breakup songs that they each wrote individually about each other, but came together as a group for the sake of the group to sing to each other. And I found the similarities were just so close that I thought this is the closest thing to a song. This is almost like a song that was left off of Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Oh, wow. You know? Thank you.
And I found it interesting that you, like the many great writers of all time, and without any pretense, I will throw in Shakespeare to say that, you know, Shakespeare himself talked about, you know, the Merry Buds of May when he talked about romance. And very often in breakups, we talk about storms and weathering the storm. And, you know, you have lyrics in your song where you talk about on Better Off Without You that I can see the thunder. I can see the thunder and hear the dark. And you also mentioned that now the dust is settled, it's clear to me things were never what they appear to be. And also that the sun's going to shine one of these days, these rain's going to stop, clouds going to break. And if you go to a song that Stevie Nicks wrote that was a big hit called Dreams, and she wrote it, she was angry at Lindsey Buckingham, who sang it with her on the album. She also mentions that thunder only happens when it's raining, and when the rain washes you clean, you'll know. And Lindsey Buckingham,
song.
Yes, great song. Thank you for recognizing, you know, that song. Lindsey Buckingham, in turn, wrote what was a great song of all time, a breakup song called Go Your Own Way. And so, like Lindsey Buckingham, your song is not one in which I say, I've had this breakup, I'm wallowing in self-pity, I can't go on without this person. You're at the point where you realize you're better off without her, and you say that, hence the title. You know, and in Go Your Own Way, Lindsey Buckingham simply states, go your own way, you can call it another lonely day. And I just thought the comparisons were so obvious that it sent chills up my spine. And I thought, you know, if this guy hasn't listened to Fleetwood Mac or the Eagles or Linda Ronstadt, those people are also called the great singer-songwriters of that generation. So seems to me like you have a lot of songwriting in you and a lot more to say that you're going to be putting on the written page. Would that be safe to assume?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, let me just say thank you for having me and for comparing me to those guys and gals. I mean, that's some of my all-time favorite artists, you know, bands, and, you know, I've said multiple times that Eagles are my favorite band of all time, so getting compared to their songwriting is incredible, but, yeah, no, I mean, I had gone through a divorce, and I had tried to talk, I don't really talk to people about how I'm feeling and what's going on, and so I kind of bottled all that up, until I went and I started writing with Dave one day, and we got there, and he said, it was the first time we ever wrote together. And he said, well, what are some ideas you have? And so I threw some ideas and he just wasn't having it. He was like, no, don't really feel that. And then I said, well, I have this lyric in my head that I just can't, like, it just hit me one night and I wrote it down and I don't know what to do with it. And I said, I can see the thunder and hear the dark. 'Cause in your darkest moment, you can cut through it like a knife. And I just said, you know, you can almost, you know, see sounds. And it was just weird, you know, and at the time when I was telling him, I was playing this riff on the guitar. And he goes, oh, I like that. He goes, and we're going to write the song around that riff. And so in a matter of like an hour and a half, we wrote the entire song. And it was never a smear campaign, but it was, like you said, I mean, it was one of these things where it was like, all right, we're now better off, you know, we're in a better place in life. And, you know, when you're going through a moment like that, like it is storms, it is, you know, darkness and you feel all these things and stuff like that. But then once you finally get over that, you know, you look back and say, okay, well, that helped me become who I am now. And, you know, you're better off now. And so, it was just an incredible song. We've written a bunch of songs that are very, very Fleetwood Mac-y, you know, Mac-ish, Eagles and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just, it's a great way to, for me, it's therapeutic to write. And so I loving those bands and stuff. Yeah. Like, even though I'm country, I love that old rock and roll, and I listen to it all the time.
I'm really happy to hear that. Yeah, you know, that genre at the time had a couple of different titles, and one was the artists themselves would be called singer-songwriters because they were known for writing these great songs and singing them or singing each other's songs, you know. And one of the other songs that you picked, which I thought you did an amazing job of, was, we'll just say Eagles' Desperado. Now, several people have done Desperado, and what you may or may not know is that Linda Ronstadt mostly sang other people's songs. But if you haven't seen the documentary about Linda Ronstadt that's now on CNN called Hear the Sound of My Voice, I saw it originally at the theater. Then I went and watched it on Netflix. And what Linda Ronstadt had a knack for was hearing the songwriting. You know, for example, Carla Bonoff was a favorite singer-songwriter of hers, and she never criticized Carla's singing ability. She just could hear through that to the songwriting, how this thing was structured and what she could take and make of it, you know. And I thought the same kind of thing. And, you know, Linda Ronstadt was credited, by the way, with giving the Eagles the boost they needed at the point in their career in which they'd had a few albums out and were doing okay. But when she took that and made it into her own song, her own single, it shot them up the charts in addition to her. So who knows, maybe you are also bringing a Desperado to a younger, broader audience that have never heard it before with your own rendition, you know. I would certainly say that your breakup song will inspire a lot of people to get through the breakup, because I think that my philosophy has always been that when breaking up, it's very similar to the phases that we go through that have been talked about in Death and Dying, which are anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance, you know.
Absolutely.
So sure, it's fine to have a couple of angry words in there, but to get to the finish line and really let go, that's what you're doing in this song, which is great. I think for a lot of people, I'd rather put that on as a breakup song if I were breaking up and going, you know what, maybe I am better off without that person. That choice of words is so important, you know. So,
and I think that's the beauty of songwriting, is you can write something that you're feeling and 10 people can listen to it and each person can get something out of it. And so whether it's, you know, you use it for a breakup song or you use it for a, you know, whatever, angry song, or you're, hey, you're finally at peace with it, whatever it is, I think that's beautiful, because I've had so many people reach out saying that it helped them, and each person is in a different phase of life, different phase of that breakup, different phase of you know, whatever, and that to me is special. One, that people want to listen to anything that I write or sing anyway, but the fact that it's helping people, I mean, that's why you write music.
Absolutely, I agree. You know, and I think art in general, fine art, country music, rock music, film, you know, it's purely subjective, and what we each take away from it is what makes art great. And for me as an artist personally, I'd rather somebody hate or love mine than walk away and go, I didn't remember the painting.
Absolutely.
You know, at all. So, and you know, alongside you, as far as great songwriters and performers go, we have Rick Jones, and Rick's son David put together this amazing complex on the east side of the Courthouse Square. Its historic district now flourishes in a way that I think other micropolitans, which is the term technically for what Cookeville is, you know, it's got a great small town feel, but if they were to define it, you know, in Census records, for example, it's not a metropolitan, it's a micropolitan. But I think quite the envy of a lot of towns. If I were a town and I had a courthouse square that people only came to the courthouse, I'd be thinking, wow, I wish we had some old stores and some great places to go to, like all courthouse squares used to have, you know, once in the day. So alongside with your store, Jones Antiques, and you have this amazing space that people can rent for parties upstairs at the Bitter Inn. Mm-hmm. You've got this space downstairs called the Monkey Wrench. Tell us a little bit about that and what we're going to be able to tell viewers today and listeners today for the first time is what you have going on within that space in the way of something that has a lot to do with songwriters and this great burst and flourish of talent that has always been here in Cookeville, for which Jake Hoot had to finally sound the horn and say, folks, yes, I'll be the one to tell you, it's not just me, it's a lot of people here.
Yes, we took basically an old Federal-style building on the square in Cookeville, and it's been a labor of love. David has been kind of the mind behind it all, I guess, the creative mind behind it all. And we started out just, we were just going to have an antique store. And then we ended up buying the building and expanded into that building. And part of that expansion became the Bitter Inn, which is upstairs. And the footprint of that old building is like 50 by 100 feet. So there's 5,000 square feet on each floor, and there's three floors. And the Bitter Inn is a 5,000 square foot facility. And then in the basement, we put the bunker. And from the bunker, we expanded into the Monkey Ranch. And that's another venue that's about half the size of the Bitter Inn. And that's where the songwriting kind of comes into play. In working with Lewis and Myla Mason, we've come up with a plan to hopefully reach out to some of the songwriters in the area, the songwriters and storytellers, and let them have a shot at getting to a microphone and being heard. And we're going to start, the first one we're going to do is going to be March the 14th. That'll be on a Saturday evening from 6 to 10. We've got limited seating. We can have up to 50, so we're going to sell 50 tickets. They can be purchased at the Bitter Inn down in Jones Antiques. Just come to Jones Antiques for your tickets. And it's going to be a first-come, first-served basis. And it's as close as we can get you to Nashville with having Myla there and her troupe. This is people that have, Myla has charted well in the 90s. She's a well-known artist out of Nashville. And she's a great person, great personality, and she's there to help promote songwriters. We're there to help promote songwriters. That's what we want people to be able to come somewhere with their ideas, with their songs, with their lyrics, and their music, and get it to a microphone where other people in the area can hear them. We'll have an open mic beginning at 6. We'll have the open mic from 6 to 7. And then Myla and her group will be singing and entertaining you for the balance of the evening. But also, they'll be there to hear what you've got to say when you get in front of the microphone. So
yes,
we're really looking forward to it and hope to have a quick sellout. And then the idea will be, if we can kick this thing off and it does well in the Monkey Wrench, then we'll move it on up to the Bitter Inn, where we've got several more square foot.
Yeah,
and we can make it a bigger party then.
We are talking with Jake Hoot and Rick Jones currently, and we have some other people that we would really love to listen to, and those are our sponsors. And I'd love to listen to our sponsors and see what they have to say to get great programming on the air like this. And when we get back, we have an even more interesting topic per se, or something that'll be of interest to you that has to do with Jake Hoot as well. So take a listen to our sponsors, and we will be right back to talk to you some more.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
This is Lewis Matheny again with Local Matters, and we've been having a great time talking to both Jake Hoot and Rick Jones about the topic of songwriting and what's going to be going on in Cookeville as far as creativity flourishing both in songwriting and the art scene. And there's a lot that goes on in Cookeville that makes it one of the greatest micropolitans in the Southeast. And for those of you that don't know, that is the term for this size town, which is neither metropolitan, but not necessarily small town, but has a great small town feel to it. And one of the people in Cookeville affecting great and positive change is Alejandra Cisneros-Conahan. And she, along with Jake Hoot, are working on a program called Impact Leadership that I think that people would like to hear about. And one of the other unknown facts about Jake Hoot and myself together that we share in common as fellow Cookvillians is hablamos español, we speak Spanish. I was lucky to have a great teacher here in Cookeville who made it so that I could graduate with honors in Spanish. And la problema conmigo, the problem with me, is I don't have somebody that I can talk Spanish with on a day-to-day basis. And I'm hoping that the two of you, what you tú puedes hablar en español día a día, and that's how you keep your Spanish language alive. And my grandfather, when I was very young, was absolutely infuriated in the 1960s that they had stopped teaching Latin in elementary school because, as he said, a Latin-based knowledge will always improve your English language ability. So language aside, please tell us a lot about what's going on with Impact Leadership and what the two of you are doing together.
Well, Impact Leadership is a great program. It's a collective, cohesive network of corporate sponsors and community leaders who have coordinated information to educate, demonstrate, and develop the underrepresented communities of Cookeville and Putnam County. So it is a wonderful program. Our executive director is Cindy Schumann. And so we equip participants with board training, diversity awareness training, as well as personality test analysis. And so what's great is to have different individuals take part in the program, such as Jake and myself. We're both alums. I'm currently part of the board. But it's great to bring that diversity to Cookeville. Not only do we want to highlight great talent in different areas, but we want to recruit and retain that talent here in Cookeville, which is amazing that, you know, Rick Jones and David Jones, and of course, you, Lewis, thank you. I am super excited about the singer-songwriting because that's going to keep more talent, and it's amazing to have that in Cookeville and not have to travel anywhere else. It's like our perfect little close community here in hometown feel. So I'll let Jake speak a little bit more to that. I know we've talked about some other programs, but he's done wonderful in the program as well.
Well, and I would interject for just a moment to say, to realize for the two of you that are younger, is you're actually stepping into a legacy, a long history of great cultural arts here, both music and otherwise. And for those that are old enough to know, we once had a woman who came to Cookeville from New York City and settled here after caring for her husband, decided to not go back to New York City and started what was our first musical theater program. And we would not have had great Broadway style musicals in Cookeville without her. And along the way, we've seen a lot of other things happen. But each and every one of those people were founders of our community and pillars of our community. And you may not want to accept that as your yoke now, but perhaps that's what you're doing and you're not even aware of. You know, when we go to give, when we go to help other people selflessly without thinking, the ripple effect is something that we create that'll be there long after we're gone and not aware of. And none of us do it going into it and saying, I want to create a ripple effect. I want to be remembered. You do what you do now in the present to address an issue that's important. So that, I think it's fantastic. I'm really glad to hear about it and want to hear more. And Jake, tell us about your involvement in this as well, please.
Cookeville, about 10 years ago when I moved up here, they quickly took me in as their own. And so, you know, I'm always very grateful to Cookeville. And there's so many people around here that are in need. You know, I grew up in a third world country, and, you know, everybody thinks, oh, just in third world countries, there's people who need things, you know, and that are, you know, extreme poverty or whatever the case may be. But the fact is, there's people in our own backyards. And so when I moved back to the United States and started going to Tech and wanted to get involved in stuff, like, I was looking for things to get involved, and that's when I met Miss Cindy. And Miss Cindy is a bulldog in the nicest way possible. That's an endearing term because she is so passionate about it. She will twist your arm and do everything else to get, you know, you involved and stuff. And so thankfully she did. And it was such an eye-opening experience going through the, you know, the whole process of Impact Leadership, getting to see all the different, you know, parts that make the community work. And then not only seeing that, but seeing some of the issues that are going on. And so it was very eye-opening, and I was very grateful to get to go through it and getting to meet people like Alejandra and everything else that goes on into it. But yeah, it's just a great program, and I recommend it for anybody because, like I said, it was very educational. I had no idea all the different moving parts that go into this community.
Yes.
And so it was very eye-opening. It definitely gives you an appreciation, you know, and makes you want to help in different areas that much more.
We could be germinating something that gets even bigger than that if we start to have a conversation about what the needs are for your organization and if we have this wonderful foundation of talent. I say we, again, when I say songwriter night. The songwriter night is not me at all. This is something that happened when I introduced Rick Jones to my dear friend Myla Mason, and they came together with that idea to be under the roof at this conglomerate of structures that's on the east side of the courthouse square that your son David, that really was his brainchild.
Absolutely.
And put that together. And along the way, if you are to visit the Bitter Inn website, is where a person would start to get some basic information and find their way to get tickets for the Songwriter yes. night, correct?
Yes.
It's like walking into the store itself. When you walk into the Bitter, when you walk into Bitter Inn or Jones Antique, you find yourself saying, can I go see the other space? And you're suddenly going through this maze of things, which now includes, and I asked David if he minded me saying this, that in one of your downstairs spaces, he's actually creating a sliding secret bookcase
yes.
to connect what were originally two separate basements under two buildings. As one, and I love this idea. I mean, who doesn't love the idea of a sliding bookcase that you find your way into?
Especially underground.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, just so. A side note, kind of what you were talking about there. When David and I decided what we were going to do with the old building, it was kind of a divine intervention type thing, I guess. I spent 37 years in corporate America, and I spent a lot of time away from home. And I didn't get to spend a lot of time with David, our youngest son. But when I retired and we went into business, we bought the old building together and we started working as son and a father, and we worked as a team. He became a partner, you know, and that's one of those things, being, I guess, the senior spokesman in the room here. It's one of those things, as life goes on and you look at it, you realize a lot of things that are coming your way, you don't see it until you look up in the rearview mirror and it's there. And you know, okay, that's what all this meant.
Absolutely.
So it's just been a labor of love, and it's I couldn't have asked for a better go at it.
Well, and I think that's amazing. I think that's one of the cool things about Rick and about Jake. They are both doing things with their children. Jake's doing things with his daughter. And I think that, you know, a lot of times we spend so much time working, and we work to work and forget to work to live. And I think that they're great examples of making all of those efforts to spend time with family. And those are memories that I know that David will remember, that Jake's daughter is going to remember. And those are going to be, you know, worth more than gold. And as far as the Bitter Inn, it's an amazing space. And if you want to check it out, you can find it on Facebook. Just look up the Bitter Inn and you can stay tuned to some of the things that are going on in there. And you can also see previous events. So if you want to spend a magical day or evening for your special place, that's definitely the place to go.
You couldn't have put any better. It's really something, whether it's, you know, online. And I think our online experiences for so many people now, there are many of us that are looking at ways to back away from it. You know, there are so many things we want to be involved with that we have to be involved with through technical media. You know, I, for one, have been saying I'm bowing out of Facebook, and I only ever use Twitter as a way of sharing my workout experience. I've been a workout enthusiast for years, as most people happen to know about me, and lifted weights and fought and rock wall climbed and biked. And I use Twitter only to record my accomplishments with this friendly online competition. But even my own Twitter feed got filled up with people with negativity. But I think we can all just make our own changes in our own ways by bringing something positive to that experience.
Absolutely.
But you're right. Wander through the Facebook page and then come see the place in person. And it's so much fun. It's like a great big museum, you know, all together. And I just think that we have four of us under the same roof who have a great vision. And it's really exciting to hear. And then, you know, another great vision that I didn't know that we might wind up discussing that we didn't know we had until today later is, I happen to mention to you that I write and illustrate kids' books, and one thing I've always wanted to do is add music to my kids' book. I talked to Fred Schneider of the B-52s a couple of years ago about taking B-52's lyrics, just excerpts from them, and using my zany cartoons to put together a collection of, you know, lyrics for a book like that. And you mentioned you've always wanted to do something. Jake, tell us, this is Jake Hoot again, who's known for being this great country singer who may have some aspirations in children's book writing and illustrating.
The idea just kind of came because I'd take my girls for a walk. Macy and I, we'd walk every afternoon, and she'd always like ride on my shoulders and go, Daddy, tell me a story. And I mean, it just got old telling her the same story. So me being the crazy person I am, I would just come up with these wild stories. Sometimes they landed well, and sometimes she was like, Daddy, that wasn't a good story, you know? And so I just told her a story one day about the girl who, like, when the day that the sun stopped setting and the girl Luna, which throws Spanish in there, helped it set, you know, so night would come. And so she loved it. And we actually just bought her a puppy, and the puppy's name is Luna.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, we they love the story. Every time we go for a walk, they're, I tell us a story about Luna. And so I tell them, but definitely have never written a story or anything, but I just always thought it was a cool idea and
good.
See what happens.
Good. Well, we may want to chat on that and just see how all these collaborative efforts grow. I know I, for one, have been coming back to Cookeville for some years, originally to take care of family members of mine who were on the decline, and now that they passed, I feel like the legacy they left me and the instructions are carry on what it was that we did and continue to make Cookeville a great place to be. And I'm with three people in the room, including Rick Jones, Jay Coot, and Alejandra Cisneros-Conahan, and the four of us, I think, have a lot more to say as time goes on. But right now, we are going to listen to our commercial sponsors and talk about that later. Thanks, everyone.